Are you thinking about using the Google Ad Grant for your church or nonprofit? Well, before you dive in, you need to consider a few things that will help you maximize those $10,000 you're eligible from Google. We break it down in this conversation. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about the Google Ad Grant and specifically 9 things that you need to know before you get started on the Google Ad Grant, whether it's for a church or a nonprofit or whatever your organization is that's eligible for the Ad Grant. Here's some of the things you need to know. And I probably wish that I knew before we started it at my church. So should be a good conversation today, Ian.
Yeah, that may sound like a lot of things, but it is a very detailed thing, the Google Grant, and there is a lot that, you know, when people hear about it, they get excited, but there's a lot that goes into it and a lot you have to consider ahead of time, so this should be helpful.
Yeah, it should be. So a little bit about our, our background in this. So you and I, we started doing the Google Ad Grant for churches specifically before just about anybody else. We've been doing it for... oh goodness, like 8 years now or so. We've been managing Google Ad Grants for churches. Right now we're serving about 175 organizations managing the Google Ad Grant for them. And I guess a few things that you and I can just kind of get out there at the beginning is that it's not the same thing that it used to be.
Right.
You know, I started using the Google Ad Grant personally around 2014 or so. And had very good results with, honestly, very little effort. Like, if we put the amount of effort out today that we used to put out those 11 years ago for the Google Ad Grant, we would get basically zero clicks. It is just, and we'll get into some of the reasons why that is in this conversation here, but it is not the same that it used to be. And so I think that if you're going in with old or out of date information and these don't know these 9 things, that's the thing you'll find is that you might be able to get it, but the actual value of it to your organization will be negligible, if anything at all. We want to kind of put you out of your, or save you some of that heartache and things that you might experience if you just kind of went in blind. And I think these 9 things, our team, we kind of came up with them together, and I think it should be helpful for most people that are interested in the Google Ad Grant. So
absolutely. Yeah, let's dig in. And it is definitely still something that many churches and church leaders are interested in, and that many still don't know about this grant to this day, even though it's been out well over a decade. So, but yeah, let's dig in, Thomas.
Us, Ian, and, why don't you just now that you say that, like, give us what is the short version of what is the Google Ad Grant? So if for someone, if they're in that category and you're watching this video and click on the title, don't know what is it?
So this is a grant that Google provides for nonprofits, specifically 501c3s mostly, but valid nonprofits, let's put it that way. And it is a grant for $10,000 a month for Google Ads. So when I say to be applied towards Google Ads, it's not money for anything else. It's not physical money. Can't go towards a new roof for your church building. There are other grants that do that, but this is specifically for Google Ads. And what it is it's Google's way of giving back. Google's not a Christian company, but this is their way and their immense success of giving back to organizations that are bettering their communities, which nonprofits typically do that. And so, that's what it is, but it is $10,000 a month towards Google Ads. So,
yep. Awesome. Yep. Yeah, that's good. So and for those that
we
are
should
in the dark,
get in. First, I guess. So the first qualifying thing is the first thing is you have to qualify, put it that way. Yep. So most churches do, right, Thomas?
Yep. Yeah, I think most churches do. So really the big hurdle for most organizations is your nonprofit verification. I do know that this is a podcast that goes out globally. So there's people all over the world that hear this. And the good news is that in the vast majority of the world, the Google grant is available to nonprofits. How you prove yourself to be a nonprofit is different from country to country. So we speak primarily to an American audience. So Here in the United States, you typically need a 501c3 status, or you need to be an organization under a parent organization that has 501c3 status.
Right.
So my church, for instance, would fall into that second category where we don't have our own 501c3. We are part of a denomination that has a parent organization that is a 501c3. We're under them. We have our own $10,000 a month Google ad grant at my church here. So so that's the primary qualification criteria. It is different in England. It's different in Canada. It's different in Japan. We looked through the entire list. It's easier to say countries where you can't get the grant. And the big ones right now are places like North Korea and Russia. I don't suspect we had a lot of North Korean audience members out there in our listening to or watching our podcast here. We have had some people in Russia over the years that have been a part of our Reach Right podcast. So unfortunately, I think just because of geopolitical situations, it's not available there now. There's a few others, but I think the vast majority of our listening audience, there are ways you can get this grant for your region there. So beyond that, there's a few other qualifications. The other, I guess, one is you have to be a nonprofit that is not specifically, and there's some workarounds for this first one, not as much for the second one, but you technically can't be a school. But a lot of times, if you are a school that is under the parent organization of a church, so like a Christian school or a Catholic preschool school, we have seen those be able to get approved for the Google Ad Grant. But if you're a standalone school and that's what you do, you will not be approved for it. Also, if you're a medical nonprofit, you're not eligible as well. So. Yeah. And that is a pretty broad definition. So if your primary services, even like addiction recovery services as a nonprofit, there are some regulations on that. You know, which way things go, I've seen addiction recovery services get approved. I've seen them get denied. So I've seen everything in between. Sometimes it makes sense just to try. You don't really lose anything by trying to apply. That's another qualification. Also, you need to have a website that is SSL secured. It's 2025 when we're recording this here right now. So you should have that regardless whether you're doing the Google Ad Grant or not. But it's just something that helps them know that the data that people enter into your site is secure and you need to be able to prove that to them. So those are the big qualifications. If you meet those criteria, you can usually apply and get approved. Even easier than all of this stuff that I just said, we have a totally free eligibility checker. It asks a few more questions that like really gets down to the nitty gritty, but you fill that out, you'll know once and for all whether or not you're eligible for the $10,000 a month. So I'll put a link to that down in the description of this video here if you're watching us on YouTube. So you can catch it there, take a look at that, and you should get all your questions on your eligibility answered there.
Yeah, no, that's good. And once you have it, the next thing is you got to know that there's going to be a lot of, maybe one way to say it is strict rules. There's going to be rules that you must follow, put it that way, when it comes to the Google grant. So a lot of times, you know, this makes sense to some people. When I've talked to people about this, they're like, well, yeah, we have other grants and we know whenever it's a grant, there's going to be things you got to adhere to and follow. Yeah. Same thing with this. It could be a little more detailed with this since it's kind of a marketing technical-based type grant. But what are some of these rules, Thomas?
Yeah, so the biggest rule, and I will say this has been, it's shifted over time. So if you put this question into Google, you'll probably get all kinds of different answers. They'll say things like, you have to spend under $2 per click. You have to set a maximum there. That is a rule that existed a while back. It doesn't exist anymore. So, you know, what it was is different from what it is today. But as of today, we're recording this in April. This will go live, I think, in May of 2025. That's what the rules are as of now. The biggest one is you need to maintain a 5% CTR rate. Now, what is CTR? It's your click-through rate. So what this means is when Google shows your church or nonprofit's ads, 5%, one out of 20 people, need to click on it every time that it's shown. So this is a way that it is displaying, like that the ad actually matches what people are looking for. And it's a tool used to prevent you from, you know, just thinking like this is house money, it's free. So I'm just going to send my ads out to everybody, even if they're looking for, you know, new toasters. I want to tell them about, you know, ways they can help the homeless in our community, right? So not really what they were looking for, and Google wants to prevent that. So what they use is they try to make you do ads that are relevant to the things that people are searching for. So someone searching for soup kitchens in Austin, you know, a relevant ad might be about your homeless ministry that you have at your church. But someone that's looking for new size 9 Nike Air Jordans probably wouldn't be interested in that same content. So that's the big like kind of lever that they pull to make sure that you stay in bounds on things, is getting at least 5% of people that see your ad to click through it. For some people, that's a challenge. We find that it's not, as long as you're really tailoring your keywords and your ads and really matching those up well, and they're really things that are relevant to the ministry that your church or your nonprofit does there. So that's the big one. There are some other kind of regulations and rules on things to stay compliant, but in my experience, that's been the big one. You know, another one is that you have to get into your account monthly. They're looking for some kind of shift. So some people think it's like a set it and forget it kind of an approach. I can set up my ads and then just leave it. But no, they'll want you to at least on a monthly basis get in there, make some changes to your account, add keywords, add new ads, put in new landing pages, do those kinds of things. So they just want to make sure people are actively using it is kind of the criteria there.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So it has to be actively used for sure and managed. So, and these things change. We've seen too, like their policies, procedures, that one's the biggest one, the click-through ratio, but there's a lot to keep up with and ongoing. Now, this next thing here that I think is, it's very important. I've seen so many pastors, ministry leaders, or just leaders of nonprofits overlook this next one. That's that you really, for this to work, this Google grant, you got to have a solid website.
This is probably the biggest linchpin of the whole conversation here today.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
This is what this is the thing that separates successful ad grant campaigns from unsuccessful ones. And it's really like there's nothing in this conversation I think that'll matter more today. Now, this didn't used to be the case, but this is the way it is now. A solid website, by that we don't just mean it looks good.
Right.
I've seen lots of really great looking websites, just beautiful, great photography, loads
video,
fast.
Video, all of that,
And all that stuff does need to happen too. If your site loads slowly, you will not get results on the grant too. So all of that is important. But the biggest pitfall that I see when it comes to this statement is content on your site. Like you need to have content. And not just any content, it has to be content that matches what people are searching for and what your ads are talking about. So what you cannot do is you cannot figure like, you know, we want to help people in our church, let's say, with those that are struggling with their marriage. They're looking for marriage advice. We offer marriage counseling at our church, or they can do pastoral counseling here. So if someone searched for topics around marriage, I want our ads to show up and let them know we have counseling. Now, here's, you can do that, but the issue is you need to have content on your church website in this case that matches that. So for that to work, you can't just send them to a general page that talks about, you know, your pastoral care initiatives, or even just your contact page and hope that they fill out, or certainly not just your homepage of your church, right?
Yeah.
Because what Google is looking for is content on there that matches what the person is looking for. So if you want to have ads like that be successful, you need to take, you actually create a page on your church website that talks about your counseling services, specifically marital counseling, premarital counseling, you know, trouble, divorce counseling, those kinds of terms. And Google is smart enough to know that, oh, these guys can probably fulfill what this person is searching for.
Right.
Let's link them up. So when you do this, that's what we're talking about when we say making a solid website. So for most nonprofits, you have a very narrow set of kind of on-ramps that people choose. So it's visiting on a Sunday. And so most churches will rank for search terms like church near me or churches in my city, but they have a hard time ranking for things like, you know, parenting solutions, because they don't have content on their site dealing with parenting solutions. So
that's correct.
I hope that all makes sense. That's really, if you get nothing out of this episode, I think this would be the primary thing to take away, is you need to have solid content on your website that matches what people are searching for.
And good landing pages, as you indicated. Another example would be if someone's looking for prayer. I always ask the question to a pastor or ministry leader, do you think it's good for them to just go to your homepage? Or if someone is clicking on an ad to receive prayer, would they be better off going to a prayer landing page, which talks about what prayer means and what to expect if they fill out a form? And of course, every answer I get is, oh yeah, that'd be much better. We need to have that. So
Absolutely.
So that's another good example. So this next one may seem broad, Thomas. It's that you need to have a strategy. That does seem just a broad. Okay. Yeah, sure. These are ads. We need strategy. Is there a specific one we're thinking of when it comes to that?
Yeah. So this is actually, there is one I'm thinking of that has been a big shift that as of the beginning of 2025, Google has started to allow us to do a new kind of campaign. And I don't want to get too technical for our audience here, but we have just been opened up to be able to do what's called PMAX campaigns or performance max campaigns. And what this does is rather than just the standard search network where your ads appear when people search for specific keywords, which is still the bread and butter, I think, of these campaigns, it also lets you do things on basically the Google network, and it lets Google decide if it can show your ads to people that are maybe not even searching for something, but they think would be good candidates to see your ads. So what it lets us do is pretty cool, is you can now upload graphics, photos, videos, other headlines, and Google will start to use it to be able to make some adjustments and things on there. So it will show your ads to new people. So we are just experimenting with this now. Just like everything else with the Google grant, you'll get better results if you're actually paying real money for it. But we have seen some results kind of early here that seem to show that these PMAX ads are working for churches, and they're also working for nonprofits. But we're still kind of in our early testing, but I really recommend that strategy right now. Try it out. See if you get some results with PMAX there.
That's good. That's good. So this next one, I get this question all the time, is, are these like Meta ads? Do they work like social media ads? And these are different, correct? They work quite differently, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of nonprofits have experience with social media ads. Let me tell you the big difference between the two. So social media ads target your audience based on demographic, and search ads target based on intent. Like, so what they're looking for. So with a search ad, you have less control over, who is, what kind of person is going to be shown your ad. So it's not always going to be, people that are in this exact age range. Yeah. And you usually don't, based on gender. You can do those things, but that's less valuable because these people actually typed in churches near me in this case, or soup kitchens in Austin, or whatever it would be, right? Whereas with a social media ad, you're more looking for people that are in a certain demographic that seems like your target audience. So for a church, for instance, you're looking for, we want to reach young families. So there's the targeting on Meta is so specific. Like, you can target mothers of preschoolers, for instance. And this is great for doing social media ads for events specifically. So if you have an Easter egg hunt at your church, or we used to use this for our Halloween party that we would do at our church where we'd invite the whole community in. But it didn't make sense for me to send ads to 65-year-old men for our Halloween party, because they're not really your typical person that's going to get dressed up and come out to your Halloween party that's really made for kids. But it made a lot of sense for us to target moms that had kids between 2 and 10, and we could spend all of our budget right on that there. So that's the big difference when you think about it. But each has their own strength and weakness. But I would say that search ads are valuable because they have very high intent. If someone's typing in church in Austin, they're probably looking for a church in Austin.
Right.
They're probably looking to get connected or have something that you can help them with, which makes it so valuable.
Yeah, that's good. And the Google ads, I get this question too. They're text-based. They're not, there's nothing graphic about them or anything like that. It's just the way that the Google search platform works. Now, once they click from there and go to your website, well, there you can have some good imagery, accompanied graphics, video, photos, all of that. So that's one thing to keep in mind.
That's mostly true. I will say that that PMAX thing I was talking about before, that does change the rules a little bit. So there
are that's right. It is.
Some ways you'll show video and images and those kinds of things. But again, that is still very early
now. We're still waiting, yes. Yeah.
And it's still only a fraction of the volume of what we're seeing with normal search ads. But generally speaking, what you're saying is true.
Yeah. And this next one here is often overlooked, that the grant is, it's a very competitive thing. You mentioned at the very beginning of this podcast that it's different than it was 7-8 years ago. Things have become more competitive, and you're also competing with other paid ads too, right?
Yeah, you're definitely competing. And not only that, you're getting, I think, paid ads. There's evidence. Google's kind of coy about this stuff here, but I think there's evidence that they are giving preference to paid ads. I can't think of any other solution as to why. You know, we've seen this where we'll run the same campaign with a paid account and an ad account, and the paid account will spend every single cent available to it. If I put $10,000 into a paid account, Google would find a way to show our ad $10,000 worth. So, you know, with the ad grant, there's some challenge that comes with it. So there's definitely some limiting factors there. I'll say as to like the competition, I think people are unaware of how much organizations spend on Google Ads, like how much you can invest in this area.
Yeah.
Let me give you some context on things. So let's say your church wants to rank to help people, like this scenario we presented before with marital counseling stuff.
Yeah.
And you found that, like, man, we'd really love to help more people, like, stop getting divorced, right? That's something that's, you know, and as a pastor, I hate it to see couples get divorced on things. So let's say we tried to use the Google ad to do that. Now, here's what you need to know is that in the industry for divorce attorneys, they are typically some of the heaviest marketed lawyers in general, or some of the organizations and people that invest the most in marketing. And you can guarantee that they're spending money on social media ads and real money on Google ads.
Yeah.
So the average price per click as of a few months ago here for an ad for a divorce attorney in a major metropolitan area. I looked at Los Angeles in this case here, so maybe that was a mistake. It might be different in rural areas.
I know
Los Angeles is famous for its divorce rates.
But yes,
for what it's worth, it's about $325 per click is how much people pay. So that's not for someone, not for a conversation, it's for that little ad that pops up when someone does a Google search. Every time someone does that, the lawyer paid $325 for that action right there. That's how valuable that is to those people. So, like, to the question of is it competitive, let's think about a couple of things. If Google has the option to show your premarital counseling ad for free to somebody, or they have a lawyer willing to pay for that same click $325, their algorithm is set up to heavily weigh the $325 payment versus the house money, not real payment that we're willing to make for that exact same click. So to answer the question, it is very competitive. In addition, because this has been something we've been doing, Ian, for all these years now, we've been helping churches and nonprofits do the Google Ad Grant. There have been many other organizations that have started to crop up and do this, and we've been putting out this kind of content, teaching churches and nonprofits how to do it themselves. A lot of people are trying to do it now and starting to do it, and that's great. We're continuing to make this content because we want to make it so that you can get out there and do it yourself. We don't hold back anything. We don't have some kind of secret method that we use here at Retract. We don't tell you in these episodes because we want to keep it for ourselves. We just know that this is hard work, and usually when people get into it, they find they'd rather pay an expert to do it for them.
It's a good segue into the next one. There is a learning curve to all of this. Yes.
Absolutely. So, it is competitive, and there is a learning curve. Yeah, that is the next thing. You need to know that don't expect that you would apply for the grant, get in, and then just like it's super intuitive, it's drag and drop, and you have ads out there. There is a lot of trial and error. Everybody on our team here at Retract They go through a Google course that is a 40-hour course just to learn how to do it according to best practices, how to actually set up Google Ad accounts and those kinds of things. So there's a steep learning curve in that environment. And then even once you've done that, I would say that that doesn't teach you the strategy to be able to actually maximize this and get these kinds of results. So
I guess
I don't want to burst anybody's bubble. And we do all this to train people and give you the best advice of what's working right now.
Yeah.
But it's not for the faint of heart. It is something that can be challenging. No. So you do need to know that before you sign up.
I can't even tell you how many times I've heard, oh, Ian, we just got the Google grant. Soon as we got it and got in there, we were like, whoa, we're way over our heads and don't know how to do this or don't have time to do this. So, yes.
I think that's close to half of our clients, I think, come to us that way. Where they open it up and they had watched some of our videos and they realized that we could probably help them with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, they tried it on their own. But, yeah, it is something. And again, here's the thing. Even if it's something that you want to learn and can learn, the next question you have to ask yourself is, like, does it make sense? Is that the best use of my time and what my assignment is? Whether we, you know, run a secular nonprofit or a church, like, you have a very specific assignment. And do you have 5 hours a week to put into managing your Google grant and getting better results with these kinds of things? Or does it make sense to pay somebody to be able to manage it for you and take that off of your plate and probably do it better than you're able to do it? So that's the kind of the math on those things.
And that's a good segue into this too, just that, you know, again, on the work side of things, it's something that constantly has to be monitored and optimized and tracked and all of those things, right?
Correct. Yeah. I think it's something that's really important that you're watching this. That is really if we have a secret sauce, what it is that we're constantly looking at our Google ad accounts and seeing what's working, what isn't, eliminating what isn't working and doubling down on what is working. And
that's so, right.
And the way you do that is through using analytics. You look at Google Analytics or other tools that we use to measure things and take a look and see, like, what ads are working or what keywords are getting the best results for this kind of an organization and what content on landing pages tends to do best for these kinds of people. And so it's constant tweaking and adjustments. That's why, just in addition to Google banning you, like, that's why the set it and forget it approach doesn't work. You have to be continually adding to it and making changes because other people are, and they'll start to outrank you in these areas if you don't regularly make these kinds of changes here. So it just takes real work.
That's good. And the last thing, and I think it's good we're ending with this because it's something that I preach constantly to every pastor, ministry leader, is that this takes time to see results, right? I mean, because again, a lot of times, and there are some marketing efforts out there that you can see short-term results, and that's those marketing efforts are designed for short-term results, not this marketing plan.
Yeah, that's well said. I think that if you're going into this with a short time horizon, like, especially, I think sometimes people think, hey, let's get this grant for this big push that we're doing.
Or
like,
right before Easter, which we're coming
Right before Easter. Yeah. Like, Easter's coming up. Let's get the grant and use it for Easter, right?
Right.
It's not great at that. Like, that's not really what it's designed to do. It's designed more to be a ongoing trickle of people that are looking for content that you can help them with. So that's the way you have to think about this kind of thing. It is not, I'll be just kind of totally honest on things. Like, here at ReachRight, you have up to $10,000 a month that you get. Our typical client in month one probably sees just under $1,000 in ad spend that first month. Now, does it go up from there? Yes. Like, it's something that we're doing a lot of testing. We're trying to make adjustments and make sure it's really tailored for your specific area. But, you know, the goal is to get to $10,000, but that doesn't happen the first month in almost any cases. There's a few exceptions where we've seen that, where you just turn it on and there's just such a volume for this specific thing, or the website is so solid and the content is so great that it just works. But that's not the norm. So generally, I'd say that it takes about 6 months to get up to, like, critical mass. But even after that, I've seen someone that's been doing it for 2 years typically has much better results than someone that's been doing it for 6 months. So it is something that if you're thinking about it, it's probably not even worth doing if you have less than a 1 year time horizon on things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's kind of our thinking on things. That's
and then we've seen most churches and nonprofits, see better results for longer than a year of utilizing it well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, yeah. It continues to go up from there.
Yeah.
I've done it since 2013 or 14, I think. And so our results continually went up. And there's been a lot of hiccups along the way because Google makes a change. And this is one thing that's constant with Google is they will change the rules of the ad grant. So expect that. That's going to happen. But in the end, I think have a long-term time horizon. Don't do it for a specific event or one big push. You're better off doing social media ads for those kinds of things. Think of this as more of an ongoing brand play builds up your organization as a whole. So
good way to put it. Good way to put it.
Awesome. I hope this has been helpful for you. These are the 9 things that you need to consider before you do the Google Ad Grant. If it has been helpful for you, it would mean a lot to me if you would hit that subscribe button. I'm going to leave a link, if you're watching the video here, to a video we did explaining exactly how I would set up the Google Ad Grant right now. So that's going to be right up here. Thanks for watching, guys, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.